Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. He is so worthy. Oh, my God. God is so worthy, worthy, worthy. So today the Lord told me to, he was talking to me about the power of his word. So I so nicely entitled this, The Power of the Word. What word? His word. Not my word, not their words, his word. So my thriving point today is that the power of speaking like God releases his power for everything, even salvation. Okay, so if you're a new Christian, if you're still trying to figure this out, trying to believe that maybe you want to give this life over to the Lord, well, today you're going to understand how important it is, because there's power in the word of God. There's power in the name of Jesus, but there's just as much power in his word. Too often that we listen to too many things other than God and his word. Too often we're viewing more television or non-compliant books and content than we do with the word of God. How often do you really read your word? To be honest, I mean, come on. I'm a minister, and I got convicted because I know I need to dive into this a little bit more. Hallelujah. But to be honest, how often do you instill time into reading the word of God? Because if you don't put enough time, you're escaping the answer to your problems. You're escaping the power that's bestowed upon you by his word. Yes, you have power. Why? Because the word has power. And if you are not inspecting it and studying it and read, last night I told the lady, don't take my word as truth. Research it yourself. I am not the authority of the word. The word is the authority. Okay? And if, you know, I'm just a conduit, you know, I'm just being used to be able to help you understand it a little bit, but you need to take it for yourself and make it your own. Because if you don't, my truth becomes your truth, and then there's no God truth. Hallelujah. Come on. How many truths do you live by that are not from God? Let's be serious. Are your truths coming from your friends, your family, from abusive relationships, you know, from television drama, from fake reality TV? Are those becoming your truths? You know, are your text messages your truths? Is your Facebook little, timeline thing popping up, is that your truth? Does that become the authority over your life? Listen, the word has power. So if God, anything that the Bible says is the same way in the world. So if God has all this power by his word, how much power do people's words have over your life? You keep talking about what people are saying. God rebuke me today, because there's some things that I'm mulling over, and I'm like, well, you know, this is really what I thought it meant. And God was like, shut up. Okay. Shut up, because your soul is wrestling with a lie rather than the truth of God. So just speak the truth, and it'll disappear. The lies are going to disappear. Okay? Because all of that is in your soul. Your spirit needs to pick it up so that your soul could be changed. If your spirit is not picking it up, your soul is going to constantly wrestle with what God is doing in your life. If you're a drug addict and you're a former drug addict, you're always going to be a drug addict, because you're wrestling in your soul about who you are, and you're not identifying with the deliverer of the word that says we are saved by his grace. We are changed and we are renewed by his spirit. If we're not reading that on a regular basis, we are so not right by what God says we should be by. You know, I discussed grace last night. Grace is so important, because grace ultimately is cousins with the word joy. Without grace, you have no joy. Without that word, there's no joy, because you wouldn't read the word that tells you that grace means to have some joy. Grace means to have some favor by the will of the Father. If you don't read the word, you don't know nothing about you. You know, I'm learning that commentaries don't mean nothing. Do you understand that? Ministers, commentaries will confuse you. The best commentary you could ever follow is the Word of God. The Word of God is going to comment on what he's saying, because there's power in his Word. The Word of God will tell you what it means, what the history was, what the timeline was, who was speaking, who were the people talking. I don't need some other commentary, Jameson Fawcett or some Matthew Henry's telling me that God is saying this or that, when the Word is already telling us. Because now we're repeating other people's words and we're distorting scripture according to what they think and what they follow and their line of reasoning. Some of them have different forms of faith and belief, and we're following their faith and their belief, and their belief and their faith become our belief and our faith. And our word don't say that, some of those things. It's confusing. Do not allow the enemy to make you think that other texts and things and thoughts of other people are really the founded word of God. You want to know the word? Get the word. Look, I got to trust the old Bible. I haven't had a Bible in so long because this thing becomes a distraction. Because pop-ups come up while I'm studying. Oh, somebody on Facebook commented. Oh, somebody tagged me. Oh, you know, and I'm like, oh, geez, I'm coming out of the word of my power to go see somebody else's concept of power. Are you serious? I'm going to go become powerful in what your comment on Facebook says. Are you out of your mind? That is not the spirit of God. You know what that is? It controls you. And what do you know what the spirit of control is? That's witchcraft. That's demonic. And we don't want that in this house, and we don't want that in us. So if other things are controlling your mind, you are under some level of demonic activity because it's controlling you. And we're breaking the bonds today of the devil and the lies of the enemy. Amen? Amen? If you're not researching the word for yourself, and you're not checking it for yourself, you might end up under some level of control of what somebody else believes the Word of God says, rather than you going in there and diving deep and finding the answer for yourself. Check my Word out today. I'm not afraid of you checking. I'm not afraid. If it's what the Spirit is saying, and if it's really from the heavens up there and God is talking to me, amen. If you find a flaw, amen, then you got to fix it, okay? That's, you know, the power of the word is so important. His power is in you. You start reading this word and tell me how defeated you're going to be every day. I spoke to God. And I said, God, I see dead people in the church. I see dead people. No, this ain't the sixth sense. I see dead people in the church. Seriously, why? Because they don't have the word of God in them, directing them, telling them what to do, controlling their thoughts by way of the Holy Spirit, not by the world's way. I see dead people, and it's sad, and it grieves me. And the Holy Spirit just tugging on me and wrestling with me, saying, study that word. Get that word in you, because you need to explain the truth of God and let them find it for themselves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am not your source. God is your source. Tell your neighbor, God is your source. His word is your power. Hallelujah. So, and I wanted to go into Romans chapter 10, but in order to understand Romans chapter 10, you have to go back to Romans chapter 9. Now, I'm teaching you how to study your word. I'm not going to sit here and tell you what I found. I want you to also learn how to find it yourself. Amen? How many are going to? Amen. Find it for yourself. The commentary I found on chapter 10 was in chapter 9. There's your commentary. That's how you find it. Okay? You don't need to find it in somebody else's dictionary or comments. It's right here in chapter 9. So, Paul was talking some heavy stuff, you know, and what I care about is you understanding the power that is in your mouth when you talk, whether it's damnation or God's word. You choose today who you want to talk about and what you want to talk about. And then you're going to choose what kind of change you're going to have in your life and what direction you're going to go in. Hallelujah. So here, I don't want to read, because I can't go through the whole chapter 9. But I'm going to overview, and I'm not going to be here with you all day, but I want to overview what Romans chapter 9, verse 1 through 5, okay? When you get home, read it. Tell yourself right now, because you're speaking it. I'm going to read chapter 9, so I understand why Paul spoke what he spoke in chapter 10. So I have words that are powerful over my life. Okay, so chapter 9, I don't have time to go through 30-something verses, but Romans chapter 9, verse 1 through 5, Paul speaks about the tools of ministry entrusted to Israel, okay? Just to be brief, okay? So this is what he's talking about in verses 1 through 5 in chapter 9. Then he proceeds on to verse 6 through 24. Yeah, that's a lot of reading. So take your time with it. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you, okay? Because he talks to me, he talks to you. I ain't more powerful than nobody else. He talks to all of us if we are listening to his word. Okay, Romans chapter 9, verse 6 and 24, we are informed that although Israel dropped the ball, God didn't miss a beat in his plans for them, okay? All right, Israel, you know, people are defiant to God, and they're stuck in their ways, okay? So you might drop the ball on what God has done and said to you and from today back. But from today forward, you got a powerful word that you're going to learn about today that you can use to change your circumstances, to change your life. So here, I'm giving you biblical examples that everybody drops the ball on God. Come on. And these are the chosen people. Okay, we're the Gentiles. These are the chosen people dropping the ball hard, boy, on God. But they didn't, you know, God didn't miss his plans for them. So here we go to verses 25 through 33, and God proves that he's always intended for the Gentiles to be included in covenant relationship with him. So he always included all of us in his covenant relationship with us. Okay, this is very important. This is valid because you can say, well, that's the practices of the Jews. Well, that's not for us. You know, we're not Jews. You know, we're not intended to follow those type of principles and laws. Yes, you are, because his covenant was with us too. Amen? Amen. So Paul shows how Israel had to stumble in their mission for a time to allow the Gentiles to be granted back in. Okay? They were granted in, but he had to stumble. Israel had to stumble in their mission for a very nice amount of time to allow the Gentiles to be granted in. So this takes us to Romans chapter 10. And my main verse is in verse 13, but I'm going to take you back to verse 1, okay? And I'm going to turn with you there. I would use my Amplified Bible, but it's so in detail that I don't want to give you the too much in advance of what God wants to say. So I'm just going to go to the King James Version. If I was you, get an Amplified Bible. It's a very good Bible. And if you're not really familiar with the Hebrew and the Greek languages, this will help you become familiar with it. If you can get a Zondervan Amplified Bible, it will help you understand the scripture more in depth and get closer to the power in your mouth that you're going to have after today. Amen? Amen. Romans chapter 10 verse 1 says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Boom. That's his heart and his desire for Israel to be saved. But we're not neglected in that. Okay? That's Paul. That's his desire. So here in chapter 10, Paul continues the thought that he stated how Israel sought to fulfill their call was not according to God's rightness or right ways. And we see that in verse 1 and 2. And he continues on, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And we discussed knowledge last night. We don't have time for that. But the knowledge of God is basically the totality of who he is by way of his word. Acknowledging and coming to a full awareness of who God is. They had a zeal for it, but they didn't have the knowledge of it. Okay, we can come to church and have this huge zeal for God and totally bypass the importance of diving into his word. We're not sustaining on a Wednesday Bible study or a Sunday service. We're not. That's not going to keep you saved all week. That's not going to keep you preserved. That's not going to protect your mind from the devices of the enemy. It's not going to protect your mind from your own devices or anything that penetrates you outside of your own, the Word of God. So you have to be able to take that zeal and understand, be knowledgeable, fully understandable of God's Word. So here, I'm enjoying this because we discussed this last night. Amen. So they were ignorant of God's ways of doing things. And this we see in verse 3. Go to verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Saints, this happens to the average Gentile, us, in our walk with God, because we start to create our own understanding of the Word of God. You know, when you stop checking, that's when you've lost it. Especially the ministers, pay attention. If you stop checking your work and other people's work that you're listening to, you have lost it. Your zeal is there, but your knowledge is void. You have to be careful that you just don't fall on blind faith, listening to preachers on TV. I'm talking about myself. Start researching this stuff for your own, because there's a truth that is going to get you free of the bondage of the enemy. And this was Israel. These are the chosen people doing the same thing that people do on television and in all these local churches and in these huge mega churches. They are so much engrossed into the preacher that they're not checking for themselves. Which means you're not checking your spirit, because the Word of God is not in you. The Word of man is in you. I'm giving you the Word of God. Read it when you get home. Follow not after man, but after him who gives us the changes and the things that we need for salvation to really dwell in us. So here we go back now in verse 3. He said they were ignorant. And then he states that everything was predicated on Christ's word, the power of his word. Everything is predicated on Christ's word. And you're going to see that in verse 4 and 5. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that what? Believeth. Who are you believing? We say, whose report do you believe? I believe the report of the Lord. Do you? Because if you're not studying the word, you're not believing the report of the Lord. You know, if you believe that, oh, she died of cancer, or, oh, she ain't never going to get delivered from drugs, or she ain't never going to stop drinking, or he ain't going to stop going to jail all the time, and you keep hearing that over, that's the report that you believe. I believe the report of the Lord that's in this word that says we are set free. He set the captives free. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, which are just meaning the principles. I can't even get there. The Torah is so mistaught in this world. Okay. But which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. The principles are the things that we should be living by. What are the principles? The power in the word. All right. We're looking for stuff that's so profound. We're looking for stuff that's going to, you know, make us feel the ooey gooeys. Ooh. And we're going to feel the spirit. Ooh. Prophesy to me. Lay hands on me. Let's shout. Let's scream. Let's have a powerful service and emptiness in your life. Because there's no word in that whole Holy Ghost powerful service. No word. Nobody's telling you, go back and study that word. After you fall on the floor and you get your hands laid on and you fall down, you get up empty, because nobody's telling you, go check that word. Go check your spirit. Talk to God. Commune with him. Wrestle with the word, because if you don't wrestle with it, then that means you're not studying his word. And I mean you and God, like toe to toe. All right, God, tell me. Explain that to me. Show it to me in your word. He talks. He speaks. Okay? He don't talk to no holier person than you. There's nobody greater than God. Nobody greater than God. No title, no position. You could just call me my original name, which is Annette, and I'm still going to be doing what I do today. Because it's not in my title. It's who God is in me by my connection to his word. Okay? You ever talk to somebody who really has the power of God in them, and that word is in them, and then the moment they speak it to you, you're like, oh, man. Wow. Yeah, I need to get back in that word. Well, I hope you're feeling that today. Because you need to get back into this word and stop believing the lies of hell and from the world and from your friends and from your family and from your coworkers and from these ministers that are they're not displaying the right thing of God. And I'm not taking away from the call on their life, but some things need to be straightened out so the truth is going to change you. His truth, his law, his principles, his precepts, not mine. Not what I think and feel you should do. Not what I conceptualize the Word of God is saying. No, it's plain and it's there for you for the picking. Take it, eat it, chew on it. Let it digest in your spirit. And it says, it was not necessary to reach up or down for the word. Directions, guidance, and instructions. Here, verse 6 and 7. This is it was not necessary. I'm going to go over here to Sister So-and-so's house, and we're going to do a prayer thing. We're going to do a prayer line over the phone. Oh, we're going to go prophesy on Facebook Live. I feel like I'm a prophetess today. I'm a minister today, so I'm going to go, and I'm going to become a minister, and I'm going to start prophesying to 100,000 people, which only probably got about 10 people watching. And then you're like, oh, and I got to say this. And then I'm going to go over here and go to this church, and I'm going to be the all-powerful, you know, Oz over here. And I'm going to be, that's craziness. That's craziness. You're filling yourself up. This is the control now is coming your way because now you're being dictated and controlled by the response of the people. That is demonic. That is demonic, and the devil's mad, and I'm going to keep talking about it until the day I die. That is demonic when you want people to respond to you and clap for you. There ain't nothing that has to do with God in any of that. None of that. I want to hear the word of God. I don't want to hear what God is saying through you. And God said this and that. And I'll prophesy. Oh, you're going to have this. And you're going to have cars. You're going to, oh, your family's going to do, oh, you're going to write a book. Oh, you're going to, come get out of my face and give me the word. That's all I need. That's all I need. It's craziness. It drives me nuts in my spirit because that does not agree with God. And if you read the word of God, you're going to really know what true prophetic ministry is about. That is a ring circus. That is not prophetic ministry. That is not of God. Stop following that foolishness. Verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh unto wise, saying not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Come down here, God, and tell me what I'm supposed to do. Come down here and explain this thing to me. Oh, I'm going to go, all right, well, Sister So-and-so might have it, or Brother So-and-so might have it over there. No, come down from, no, that's craziness. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Are you? He already died for you. He died for the death that was already in you. And so now we're looking more outside of the perimeters of our Savior. We're looking up, down, sideways, to the left. And that's complete confusion. That's what the Bible talks about, you know, tossing to and fro, you know, being two-spirited, two people in one, now confused, completely out of the will of God because you're seeking for stuff that's right in front of you. It's right here. It's right here. And here he goes on to say in verse 8, the word of God is closer than your breath. The word of God is even closer. How close is your breath to you? It's pretty darn close. If you put your hand in front of it, you won't smell it. Some of y'all ain't going to smell something good. But you do that, you're going to feel your breath. That's even closer. His word is even closer than that. Amen. Verse 8 tells you. I'm showing you line upon line. Listen, line upon line, precept upon precept. I'm showing you in the word. Go home, pray about it, read it, talk to God about it. I'm not going to sit here and tell you all this craziness. It's right here. It says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith that what? We preach. Who is preaching the word of God? Who is directing you to check it for yourself? Who is telling you what you should be doing? Read that word. Gain the power. Gain the wealth of the word in you. They're not doing that all the time. People are like, see me, hear me, talk to me, listen to me, follow me. You know, just do, listen to my tape 2,000 times. You're going to get it. No, I don't have to listen to nobody's CD. I don't have to watch nobody's message on video 2 million times to think that I got it. No, I got him in me. I don't need nobody's message repeatedly playing over and over because now that becomes another level of control. I can't say that. I don't know why the Holy Spirit keeps talking about this. Somebody's under somebody else's control. And y'all better break that spirit. It's a little scary up in here. So the way of the new birth is spiritual. Hear the word. It acts like a seed planted in your heart, joining place of spirit and soul. when you believe the word and say the same thing God is saying, which is the word confess, that is the Greek word homologio. Homologio is the way you confess. This is the speaking the word. All right, and that's in, I think, verse 9 here. It says that if thou shalt confess with your mouth, don't confess your friends' words, the lies that are in your head, the lies of your family or what you brought up to believe as a child. Don't believe what the television is saying, what social media is saying. Don't believe that. It says that you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that thou shall be what? Saved. The same way Israel is supposed to be saved. That you should be saved, but you got to confess it with your mouth. And this Greek word confess, homologio, homo meaning the same, logos meaning word, and that means to say. Therefore, say the same thing, and you are saved. If you say the same thing that is in this word, you are saved. And you're constantly being saved, constantly being rescued by the word of God. You want your friends to bail you out? You want your family to change and save you and rescue you from your situation? Not. You get into this word and you're going to get rescued. You're going to have a huge change come over your life. You know, and he'll direct who needs to save you in the earth. But the word is going to save your spirit. And if you don't create, I'm telling you, homologio, to put this together and say it so that you are saved. And you hear this in verse 9 and through 11. And going on from 9 to 10, for with the heart, what? Man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is what? Made unto salvation. What you say saves you. And I hear this scripture taught all the time, over and over and over again. And nobody says, get in that word and study it for yourself. Dive into it. Because it's going to change you. It's going to transform you. It's going to rescue you. It's going to change everything you thought could not change. And here, this is what Paul was talking about. And the word here, saved, sozo, it means to heal, to make well, to save in every aspect that you could think of. That you shall be saved. And here he talks about death. He said that thou shalt confess with your mouth that the Lord shall believe, that with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead for you to be saved. For you to be saved. He raised him from the dead for you to be saved, to be healed, to make well, to save in every aspect that you could think of. And he raised him from the dead. This is the Greek word, nekros. And it means from among the dead population, the dead ones. We were all dead at some point, folks. And you're killing yourself daily when you don't research this word, when you don't dive into this word, when you escape responsibility and accountability from his word. And I understand we all need accountability to somebody, and that's great. But if we're not accountable to this word, we will be completely confused and manipulated if we're not listening to what this word says when we're getting some level of accountability. And the word will let you know. And Jesus saved us who are spiritually dead. Everyone was spiritually dead. Christ saved us. The Old Testament saints are gone, folks. Yeshua, Jesus took them when he rose from the dead. Okay? And Romans 10 and 9, if I can reinterpret this to you, this is how I would reinterpret it. If you have your Amplified Bible, read it when you get home. It says, because of what was said in verse 8, okay? And let's read that real quick. But what saith thee, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that it is the word of faith that we preach. Now, because of that, if you say absolutely the same thing, homologio, that God says in His Word, with it in your mouth, the Lord Jesus representing everything He is, salvation, and you concretely believe and trust in your heart that God absolutely raised Him out of the dead for those dead ones that we were, you definitely will, in the state or condition of being saved, you will be saved, which means to be delivered, protected, preserved, healed, made well, made whole, saved from harm. Is that hard to believe? Why are we stuck? I know that's a long translation, but that's what the text is saying. If you really read it, read it, read it. Build yourself up. Motivate yourself. To a lot of motivational preachers, but that spirit ain't going to be in me for so long before God starts to say, read my word. The same motivation is in my word. And I'm glad to have those people out there, but they're not going to take over the mind of Christ that is in me. You know, I listen, line upon line, I got to get in this word. Because if I start listening to too much content, now I'm repeating man and not God. We have to be cautious of these things. The Bible warns us about all this. I don't have time to explain all this because we will be here for a year. But you really read your word. It's all in there. It tells you. It forewarns you. It tells you all the things that you need to be careful of and what you need to be able to adhere to. And here he's saying this. And Paul reveals the same word and way is for the Jews and Gentiles to obtain salvation. And that we see in verse 12 and 13. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich. Wow, I love it. Rich unto all that call upon Him. Everybody. Buddhist, Muslim, New Ager. All that call upon Him can reactivate that word back into their life upon them diving back into this thing. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. We know this, right? I guarantee y'all can quote that. For who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This was my main scripture. Shall be saved. Shall be rescued. You know, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you're not calling Him. Guess what you're calling? Your friends, your boyfriends, your girlfriends. You're trying to find somebody to go out and have a date with. Trying somebody to party with. Or you're trying to hang out with somebody because you're so bored, Christian bored, that, you know, you start tagging yourself up with people that are just as bored as you, that are not into the Word of God, that are going to speak some hellish things to you. Next thing you know, you're in your flesh, sleeping around, drinking, partying, dressing like you're not supposed to be dressing, talking like you ain't supposed to be talking, doing things you have no business getting involved in. Some people get back into pornography. Some people dive into things that they had no business getting back into because they get into this place where they intimidated by this Word. The Word is not intimidated of you, and you should not be intimidated by the Word of God, because it is here for us to be able to renew our hearts and minds. It is salvation, Yeshua, salvation, being saved by Him, by His Word. We can use the word Jesus in so many areas of our life. Hit your finger, oh Jesus. In intimacy, oh Jesus. You know, Jesus, I can't believe it. But we're not using the power of it. We're using it in a negative way. He's all in our life by word, but not by deed of His word, not by application of His word. That is, you know, really not the correct way to say His name, to really start proclaiming Jesus in all these negative ways. We need to call upon the name of the Lord so that you could be saved, so that you can be preserved, delivered, protected, healed, made well, made whole, saved from harm. Think about it. How many situations you could have been out of if you would have thought about it this way? How many situations could have you avoided if you would have thought this the way you were thinking it? If that drug is calling you, say, devil, I'm putting the word on top of it. If that lust is calling you back, devil, I'm putting the word on top of it. If all the things that you were struggling with tries to rise back up, devil, I'm putting the word on top of it. I come against that spirit in the name of Yeshua. I am putting His name and His mark upon it so that He can deliver me, and I will not be in struggle, but I will be delivered, saved, changed, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's not just something that I could quote. That is something that I could say because I'm practicing it day to day. Hallelujah. And the same law and principle, which is the meaning of the word law in that text, of confession works for everything you desire from your Heavenly Father. You don't believe me? Try it. Try it. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Because I let the world take over my mind. I let the world take over my words. I let people take over my words. I let situations take over my words. No, now I'm putting the word on top of it, the word of God. I have power. You know, there's power in me now. You know, that's not arrogance. I'm just, when I say that, I'm just saying I got the word. All right? I'm not perfect, but I got the word. And when I feel imperfect, I got the word. Okay? When I don't feel balanced in my mind, I got the word, because he said, let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. Jesus, Yeshua, my salvation, my Savior, let that word be in you so you could be saved, spared, repaired from all the negative things that you've been struggling with. We don't think about that. We just have jargon. We have all this wording and all this stuff, that churchy stuff. Get rid of the churchy stuff. Get rid of it. It's not helping you. You know, all the little quotes from the saints, it's not helping you. You're not doing nothing with it. You're not. Because you're saying it, but you're never going to Word to find it for yourself. You know, we're repeating man. Let's repeat Christ. Let's repeat His Word. Let it change you. Let it stir you up. Let it bring a full desire. So you must choose this. This is my question today. You must choose, is the Word true or people's opinions, logics, concepts, doctrines, or traditions more important? What's true? Okay, we want the word of truth. So what is true? God's word, people's words, opinions, logics, concepts, doctrines, and traditions. Which one? Then get in that word. Have an answer for your situation. Not a complaint. Don't go gossiping, backbiting, complaining, and talking to your friends and buddies, or even talking within your inner dialogue about what you're not happy with. Stop saying, I'm tired, I can't no more, I'm done with this. That's the devil's words. Okay, that's not the word of God. I never heard God say, I'm so tired of y'all. I'm done with you. I can't deal with you. You know, I'm sick of this. Those are devil words. Those are words that are going to trap you in the mind of the enemy. Get rid of those words and put the word of God in you, okay? Listen, when you start to put the word of God in you, your friends will start moving around. I don't care, even if you're married, if you start to put the word in your mouth and you start really speaking this thing, and I don't care, if they're not receiving it, just say it under your breath. I come against that spirit in the name of Jesus. I come against that demon in the name of Jesus. And let me tell you, if that spirit is not receptive, it will move. Guaranteed? Guaranteed. It's in the word. Study it. It's in there. Okay? Because it talks about demons and they all tremble. Okay? It's in the word. And you don't know how to fight the demons around you. You don't know how to fight the demons in you. It's in the word. It tells you how to do it. I don't have to tell you. It's in there. I could direct you to it. But you have to find it for yourself, and you have to do something with it. You have to make it your own, not reinterpret it for your own. Make it your own means accept it as His word of truth. Accept it as the power that dwells in you. Accept it that that's more powerful than anything in this world. That's more powerful than an abusive relationship. That's more powerful than an abusive drug. That's more powerful than anything that could come against you. That's more powerful than an unhealthy situation. That's more powerful than a sickness. It's so much more powerful. If you could get it in your spirit and start really practicing this, you will change. The power of speaking like God releases His power over everything. Salvation is power in that. And I'm going to take you real quick, and then I'm going to close out. Go to see Mark chapter 11, verse 21. And we're going to see. It's in the Bible, guys. It's in the Word. I'm going to leave you, but I want to leave you with some Word. Amen. With some power. Amen. Mark chapter 11, verse 21, and we'll read down to verse 24. It says, and Peter, calling to remembrance, what is he calling to remembrance? Saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answered and said unto him, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whatsoever shall say unto the mountain, beat out, remove, and beat out, cast into the sea, and shall not doubt. Doubt, don't doubt today in your heart, but shall believe that those things which what? He saith shall come to pass, and he shall have whatever what? He saith. Okay, say. But what is it saying for you to say? God's word. It's telling you to say God's word. And if you believe his word in your heart, you'll have great success. That mountain is going to be moved. That situation will be moved. If you believe it, not just say it. These are not just words that you're going to loosely say and think you got power over if you don't believe it in your heart. If you don't accept it and embrace it as God's truth, you have to receive it and embrace it as God's truth so that you can have the power over the thing that you want to move out of your way. And this right here is a greet it again when you get home. But you read here. Look, he said, Peter calling to remembrance what God said. There's the leader. Okay, this is the Apostle Peter. He's remembering what God said. What does he do? He goes back to the word to confirm it, to be in agreement with it, to have power over the situation that thinks to have power over him. That's how you do it. That's the formula. I'm going to bring you a couple more. John chapter 14. And we're ready to close this out. Study these. John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. I'm going to read it to you. It says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. What name? Yeshua, salvation. The Lord that saved our souls, that changed us, that rescued us from our situation, that's healing us, that is giving us the things that we need through him. That's the name. All right? That's the name. It's not a Greek word. It's a name. Okay? If you shall call, listen, it says, who and whosoever shall ask in Jesus, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Just read it that way. And if you shall ask anything in Jesus, I will do it. Wow, that changes the whole scope of it. Because we're not studying him. We're not rehearsing him. We're not practicing his practices. We're not thinking his thoughts. We're not activating his power through his word. But if you do it, you'll have benefits. You'll get whatever you want in your heart. Because the Father aims to please us. That's all he wants to do. He aims to please us. He desires us to seek him out. Because, you know, and the desire comes because we're not following him enough. And if a father desires to see his child, what does that mean? The child's not around enough. We're not there in the word enough. He's arrived in the word. He is so close. It said the word of God is nigh thee. It's right here under your breath. Closer than your breath. It's there, but we're not connecting with it. And you know, if you think about your relationship with God, if we don't get nothing else, think about how you, if you had a child, if you don't have one, just think about it. If you had a child and you know, that child is not paying no attention to that parent, how neglected would that parent feel? Now, it's usually the reversal. But here, in a relationship to the Father in heaven, we are the ones neglecting him. And he's the ones with open arms waiting for us. And he embraces us when we read his word. He embraces us when we pray. He embraces us when we worship him. He embraces us and he bestows his power by his word, by us rehearsing it like Peter did, by us rehearsing it like Abraham did. All these people repeated God's word constantly in their times of trial and tribulation, even in times of joy. I will bless the Lord at all times and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. David was not in a good place when he talked about that, but he remembers who God was to him. Even in his sin, he was the worst of the worst. Listen, David should have been killed for messing around with other people's wives. But he had the word in him, and the power of his word spared his life. King or no king, he should have died. But he had a word, God's word. When we desire a word, I don't desire to prophesy to you. I don't desire to, you know, lay hands on you. That's baby stuff. This is the real stuff. This is the truth. Okay? This is the truth. Because no one can deny the word of God, but people could deny your prophecy. People could deny your hands laid on them. People could deny your truth, but they can never deny the word of God. That's the most important thing you could ever, ever desire, because there's power in his word. I'm going to leave you with the rest of the scriptures. I don't want to read all of them. John chapter 15 and 7. And read the whole chapter of John chapter 16 over and over again. Say, it's all over that chapter, John chapter 16, especially concentrated in verse 23 and 24. Write that on your side note. So when we saw the name, right, if you shall call upon a name in his name, you saw that quite a few times in Mark, John, and you'll see it in chapter 16 and 15 as well. In the name means ask what you want. In Yahshua's name, the name that represents everything that he is. When you understand the idea of who Jesus is, his name alone, you are calling upon everything that he is, all encompassing of who he is. And that's who you're reaching out to. Stop reaching out to your friends. Stop reaching out to your foes, because the friends are your foes. Trust me, some of them are not your friends. Stop reaching out to anything that is not of God. And reach out to everything that is in him, Jesus. Jesus. Why? Because we end prayer in Jesus' name. We end a meal in Jesus' name. We end our life in Jesus' name. It is done. Jesus went. He gave up the ghost. He was final. His name is final. His name is everything. He took it for you. Hallelujah. So everything, period, is what's in his name. Everything ultimately means to be saved or be safe. Jesus, Yahshua, means to be saved or to be safe. That is everything you need. If you had no money and if you had nothing, but if you felt safe, you're good. Nobody wants to be broke, homeless, and feel unsafe. But if you felt secure, you know, in your position, God will meet you there, and he'll make some changes in your life. If you have to find security in him, not in man. So everything, period, is in him. His love, mercy, goodness, grace, holiness, power, salvation, everything is in his name. His name is your reputation. Your reputation is locked in his name. And we're not calling upon it. We're picking up the reputation of the world, of man, friends, grown, our history of our childhood. We're picking up all these old reputations, and we're not picking up the reputation of Jesus, who made himself of no reputation. He made himself of no reputation. So I'll leave you with that. Those are the scriptures. So remember, the power of speaking like God releases his power for everything. And who is everything? Jesus. Everything encapsulated in him. So there's power in his word. There's power in his name. If you can catch that today and tell the devil, no, I got a word. Tell the devil, I got a word. Yeah, I got a word. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to prophesy to myself like this. Because this is a prophetic word. The entire Bible is God breathed from heaven, from above, down to this earth. I am prophesying to myself every time I read this word, and it shall come to pass. Give him a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him a praise. Give God, Jesus, our Savior, everything that he is and all that he will be is in us. I am, my reputation lies in Jesus and no one else. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for your word. We pray, God, that this word, God, will not leave us, God, that you said your word will not return to us void. And we're looking for it, God. We're seeking it. We're going to go home and we're going to read this and we're going to dive into this thing, God, so that you can speak to our spirits all, God, that we need to hear for us to have the truth to be free, God, free in you, free to be who we are, free, God, to be those vessels that you called us to be for your kingdom's sake, God, that no man, God, can stop the works that you're doing in you, in us, God. I pray, God, power, power, power bestowed upon your people that adhere to your word. Those, God, that touch and agree with your word daily, 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 God. Give them the power, God, to be able to overcome all obstacles, all struggles, all condemnation, all lies from hell, God, all control, all power of demonic forces, God. We come against it in the name of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.